flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It was like a tragedy at the beginning. The first like four questions were, this guy's a nobody. He'll never do nothing in this town.
And then, why would you give him a 1920s sports broadcasting accent?
I kind of went Regis too. I don't really know. Regis. But Gelman! However.
Were you a Regis and Kathy Lee? Were
absolutely you, not. Okay. No.
Remember he did that? He did the show with Katie Nolan. That was like one of the debut shows on Fox Sports out there. Regis went on a ride.
I'm going to tell you right now. At the edge of his prime, or when he was washed up and not dead yet, I would have loved to hang out with Regis.
Yeah, you give off solid Regis vibes.
That people have been saying that. Big Regis,
saying that
energy.
Regis energy. It's what a ride ridiculous. Ben took us on, though. Yeah. Seriously.
It was, and then the second half, confused. It was like, oh, wait, it could work.
The first half, I was like, did everything I think I saw with Darnold, was it all just a lie? You know, he's a product of the environment and all these other things. And then I'm like, well, all right. How's he going to save this? And he's like, oh, you win 10 games.
Yeah. Oh, well, in fairness, and I think you pointed this off air, that might make really, maybe 10 games is like our equivalent of winning 3 games.
I mean, they just won 14 games.
And didn't they win 13 the year before?
Yeah,
Jones beat them in the playoffs, they were a 13-win team.
I think 10 is wildly insulting. And we're over here like 10 wins? Sign us up. It's really nice.
I will say, my biggest concern about Sam Darnold is the context. Like, you're not playing inside. That's a big piece of this. I think Kevin Stefanski is a good play caller. I think Kevin O'Connell might be the best play caller in the game. To me, in my mind, what he's done in Minnesota is so much more impressive than what even Shanahan's done in San Fran or even what McVay's done in L.A. Like, that is to win with those quarterbacks, to win to the extent that they have. I know they haven't won in the postseason. That's what happens when you have Sam Darnold and Kirk Cousins as your quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, when J.J. McCarthy got injured, I remember listening to one of the betting podcasts that I tune into every now and then.
Yep.
And the guy was like, it is a lock. Vikings under win total 6 is a lock. And, he went in this whole rant about how they were going to lose the first 8 games of the season last year because it was such a tough schedule to start out of the gate. And it was like, gee, I mean, he just turns it around so quick.
I'm just so torn.
It was a lost year.
I mean, like, I think I really thought Sam Darnold was an awful quarterback. I really did.
I can tell the mind bleep that it has over you, the idea that he's ever done anything productive at the NFL level.
And it's so funny because everybody...
Take me into that, though. So you were in Carolina, you were in Charlotte. You were at the training camps, right? Like, I mean, listen, this is why we always remind everyone, because we go to these training camps, and we've just seen it so many times, whether that's the Browns or whether in your instance it's the Browns and the Panthers, where you go to these training camps, and there are people that are practice field All-Americans.
Yeah,
and that does happen. But usually the people that stink on the practice field don't then all of a sudden turn around and be awesome on the field.
Yeah, what's funny is Sam looked like a gym class hero. He did, because it was slower, it was casual, he has a swag, he's a laid-back dude that very much comes across in how he kind of operates in a way that looks real kind of graceful and classy. But the problem is, and the problem had been, when you get it in real NFL speed, there's just no comfort there.
Okay, so he did at least look good on the practice field.
It
doesn't mean anything.
Now, granted, I didn't see him in New York, but the year that I saw him in Carolina, I remember thinking in camp, like, really hard in the paint, that he's not, like, I mean, I called him Slappy Sam. Like, he's not good. And so I didn't change my opinion on air because it was practice. But then when he went in, I mean, he looked lost. He somehow looked worse than
Which does happen. I mean, we've got a list of Browns quarterbacks that look good on the practice field that never translated.
And in fairness, his context in New York, find me the great playmaker there, find me the great play caller, you can't do it.
I mean, hell, I'd add Deshaun to that list even when it comes to guys that look good on the practice field, and then you get in the game and it's a different story.
Remember that first camp? Some of the things?
Well, day and night
from what we've previously seen?
I watched him versus Jacoby Brissett, and he made Jacoby look like a ninth grader.
Yep. In fairness, that just meant Jacoby was also booty cheeks. But.
True, but it was so stark. The difference was so stark as far as velocity and everything else. Again, you're in shorts and a t-shirt.
But I'm so torn because I did watch Sam this year, and I watched a guy who was confident. He was never confident when I watched him up close in Carolina. I watched a guy whose processing speed, he was at ease, in comfort, in making those decisions on the field this year, right? Like,
yeah, not seeing ghosts.
He was a guy, and listen, he's always been able to move off his first read, but there were just times where you could tell he was so pent up and so anxious after moving on from his first read that he'd just hurry up, and you didn't see a lot of that. And it's so funny because he does have a good physical skill set. He can move around, right? He does have a strong arm. So I just have never seen such a stark contrast to what I watched in New York, what I watched up close in Carolina, and a guy who looked like a top 15 quarterback. And I agree with Ben Lieber, by the way. If Sam Darnold was able to translate in this context to the same guy he was or close to it in Minnesota, you're a 10-win team next year. I don't know if that makes you any better in the playoffs because clearly he tightened up.
Well,
he clenched in the Lions game and in the playoffs.
It was bad.
But I don't know. You said it perfectly. It's a mind bleep. And so on one hand, I'm like, okay, I know what I've seen from this guy up close. On the other hand, I know he's a good dude in a locker room. And he looked like a different quarterback.
Locker room,
and I think
all anyone's ever said is how great he is.
Like if Stefanski is who anyone has said he is, there is no reason. I know we don't have a Justin Jefferson, but add another receiver. Mm-hmm. But like, there's no reason he can't get something adjacent to that, right? If Kevin Stefanski really is the elite play caller.
I wonder if that would be the hang-up, though. Is like, do we need a Jefferson? Do we need an Addison? Do they just have so many weapons that we just can't match what that is?
I actually think the O-line's more important. I think Ben talked about...
Ben said the inside of the O-line was extremely important, and we have that.
Well, and he had said they didn't have that in Minnesota.
Well, I mean, and that's also playing with the idea that Petonio can find the fountain of youth a little bit.
I actually... I'm not afraid of losing Joel because he's older and because I've been preparing myself for it.
Okay, good.
Can you get Ethan Posick back to being Ethan Posick from 2 years ago? And are you ready to just go ahead and pay Wyatt the way you should?
Well, they paid Wyatt, but they got to pay him again.
No, that's... Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. It's like... There's been a lot of debate. Well, you just move on from Wyatt too. I get he's 30 years old. I don't care. Like, Kevin Zeitler's like 36, and Kevin Zeitler's the worst season he had was in Cleveland. Every other year in Detroit and Baltimore, in Cincinnati, he's been a damn good player. So I. Like, as long as you're keeping Wyatt.
I mean, I told you. Listen, I'm much higher on the idea of Sam Darnold than I am Kirk Cousins. I've told you that for a while now. Now, I don't know how much I love the idea that if they franchise tag him, you're going to have to give up some assets as well, and I don't know what that looks like.
Yeah, I think my principle for Sam is my same principle as it is for Kirk, and that is if all I have to do is pay you, I can come around to the idea and get behind it. Trading assets, well, it depends. Like, I'm not giving up a first for Sam. I'm not giving up a second for Sam. If they said for the right for you to pay Sam, you've got to give us a third-round pick? Okay. Yeah, okay. Because I can get a third-round pick by trading out of 2 or trading out of 33.
We have 11 picks as well.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of picks this year.
Can I give him a couple six-rounders? We got like five six-rounders this year.
There's so many six-round picks.
It's too many. Nobody needs that many six-rounders.
They love the six-round picks.
I mean,
tell that to Donovan Peoples-Jones.
Three. Everybody knows Nick Wilson, Nicky Dubs. And no more than 3 6-round picks.
Yeah, what round was Brady found in there, Nick?
I believe that was the sixth round.
Load up on 6-rounders.
Were there three of them?
We got it.
And that draft.
There were 7 of them, actually. We have a chance.
But no, I mean, I'm so torn.
I just love doing that, by the way, because you know there's someone in their car that was like, what round was Brady in? It's like, that's not how this works, guys.
Also, Antonio Brown. Sixth rounder.
Yeah.
And get on.
How dare you devalue the sixth round pick, Nick?
Jordan Mailata, seventh rounder. We should just stock
up
on only
do Brock Purdy, seventh rounder. We should only do sixth and seventh rounders.
For 40 seventh round picks this year.
That's actually really funny. Yeah. Would you trade a second round pick for the entire sixth round draft class?
It's now the Moneyball approach. More is better.
Just say darts at the dartboard.
Only 10 of them are going to make the team. Darts but those at the 10, dartboard. Get ready for it. I am torn between, I think Sam Darnold, of the known available quarterbacks at this moment, is probably as good as it gets, while also knowing that up until 4 months ago, I thought the guy was a scrub. And I don't know how to reconcile those today. Like, I'm not big on endorsements
today. It's new information, though, but it's new information, right? Like, he showed you something.
It's just so contradictory.
I know, but he showed you something you'd never seen before. It's okay. Listen, I can hide the post from your Carolina friends if you want me to. We can find a way to make sure none of Carolina can access your Sam Darnold is great now post. We can make this happen. But we need to, as sports fans, be able to understand when you have new information and someone shows you something, then okay. We have to give these athletes the idea that you can get better in life. We afford this opportunity everywhere in life with everyone that you're going to be better at 37 than you were at 27, and you're going to get better in life. Like, we can do this with Sam Darnold as well.
I just feel like this offseason is going to come down to Sam Darnold versus Shedeur Sanders. And
that's what I call a win-win, my friend.
I would say it's the opposite.
That's what I call a win-win
for me. It's not that either can't work. And I really want to be clear on that. Because Sam, we do have new information on Sam. But it's the idea of, I'm going to be accepting that that's you're going to get a middle-of-the-road quarterback and maybe not a great quarterback.
You're at least out of the Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr, Russell Wilson sinkhole that exists over there.
I think Kirk Cousins can succeed in this scenario. It's just you're going to be having the same conversation 2 years from now.
That's right? The problem.
I think Russ can succeed in this scenario. I just don't want him because
he's got an expiration date.
Well, it's the same thing as Kirk, but with Russ, you're going to have to pay him more. And the only appeal with Kirk is, I get to only pay him $1.5 million? All right, sold. I'll still take giving Sam Darnold 25 a year and going or the Baker contract, going that route and seeing where it gets you. And let me put it this way. If that fails, we cannot hold it to the same degree that we have the Deshaun thing. Right? If that fails,
we're all going in
understanding this is not a foolproof plan and that this comes with some potential danger. 216-474-0092.
But you don't get a million cracks at it either, Nick.
But you got to take the best cracks you can this year and understand these cracks are not like last year's cracks.
They have to start winning games.
Yes, they do. But not all cracks are the same.
Side-eyed the cracks thing, and I almost gave you a ducking downtown, and I decided not to.
Another Buckeye headed out the door on quick hits at 3:22 on 92.3 The Fan.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world
Angel.
To the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry.
It's Quick Hits.
Yeah, we got to fix that last thing. I don't know what that last sound is. It is the most... what the hell
Tim
is that?
Tim saying Set Hut.
Yeah, it just sounds like a... hearing it.
Matt just threw his hands up in the air.
90% of it is really good.
I'll give Peyton a call and I'll have him do one in the microphone.
It's like that you're like trying to figure out, you're like a mad scientist. Like, I can't figure it out. It's an easy edit. You'll be fine.
It's production. You're going to be fine.
Just take the last part out.
I believe in you. I believe in you.
I can't figure it out.
How do I reach this production? Another Buckeye is going pro. Quinshon Judkins has announced after one season in Columbus, he's heading to the pros after combining with Travion Henderson for 2,500 total yards and 27 touchdowns. Both potential day two picks. Who would you rather see in brown and orange?
I like Henderson over Judkins, and this is nothing to do with Jax. In trying to make sure that he doesn't have to watch his favorite team have some nothing to do with that. Henderson had 667 touches, didn't have a single fumble. Mm-hmm. Takes care of the ball. I like that. Plus, when you watch him, I just feel like he's more explosive in many ways.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. I've seen people compare Quinshon to Kareem Hunt.
And that's because the goal line stuff. Well, but, that's clearly the goal line stuff.
But what's wild about that is Quinshon has not been tested much as a receiver. He was actually tested, I think, more this year than he ever had been. I think he had 161 receptions or 161 yards receiving. But to me, it's Travion. He is more versatile, and I think the kicker is the explosiveness. My concern is I think Travion might end up in the second round. So if it's but if both are there at 67, man, I would run to get Travion. Even with the injury concerns, I'd run to get Travion in that pick in.
Omaha! Your doppelganger, Shane Gillis, speaking on a podcast of Barstool. And talking about, the Matt and Shane Secret Podcast. My apologies there. Talking about
secretive, you forgot the name of it.
They do a good job, don't they? That's actually.
Who are they again?
What kind of branding is that? It's like we have a secret podcast. We want nobody to find it.
It's because naming things has been ruined because everybody tries to get too clever.
So he's talking about Notre Dame after the title game. Here we go.
Great season. We'll be back for sure. We got to raise some money for the Irish now. I'm going to give him a little. I was looking at the confetti, watching Ohio State score, just sitting there going. I called my agent immediately. I was like, let's book a show and give all the money to Notre Dame. Notre Dame needs a champion. Notre Dame needs a D tackle. I need to give that to an 18-year-old.
Could you imagine? I think he's serious, too. Let's do a whole show. Let's work a whole day to go ahead and just give it all to the collective.
And he's got to do them all in Columbus. Like, if he really wants to be hateful about it, just do like the Woodstock of comedy at in Columbus, and then give like the $20 million you make right to Notre Dame.
Has he replaced Vince Vaughn as the Irish celebrity fan?
I think Vince Vaughn's still above Shane Gillis. If we talk about Q score, I think Vince Vaughn is still more well-known.
Now, when you think Notre Dame fan, though, do you think Vince Vaughn first, or do you think Shane Gillis first?
I still think Vince Vaughn first. It's not because of Rudy either, because he only is in Rudy for like 2 seconds.
No, he's been the guy for Notre Dame for the past 20 years. Anytime Notre Dame's in anything important, there's Vince Vaughn. And I love Vince Vaughn, so I welcome it.
And by the way, if it worked like that, McConaughey would have gotten Texas a championship like 10 years ago. Well, like 3 years ago.
Well, McConaughey clearly is cheap, is the problem here, right?
He loves the photo op. How much do you really? What's the NIL look like, Matthew?
Where's your movie go ahead and donate to the collective?
No, what he did was he donated Green Lights books to all the athletes, and he just walked around saying Green Lights.
Meanwhile, he kept the Dallas Buyers Club money. He's like, I'll keep this money.
Do you think he does that with everything? He's like, I get a lot.
They come up to him like, hey.
Actually, he should run.
Hey, McConaughey, do you have any money for the collective? He's like, red light.
I'm not going to throw that fire. I'm not doing it. I love McConaughey. If you liked his book, that's okay.
That's a red light.
He does need, the sequel better be yellow lights.
I actually do love the idea of just answering every yes or no with red light or green light.
Well, but you got to have yellow, too. Well, that's like a caution.
That's like I'm still thinking about it.
Yeah.
Yellow light.
Yellow lights. Omaha! God, I don't even know where the hell I'm going here. Another coaching hire has been announced as 73-year-old Pete Carroll, soon to be in diapers, will be the Raiders' next head coach on a 3-year deal.
Ages now. I didn't see this coming from his own choice.
They're comfortable.
For the guy that last week was like, you need to get in fights with 88-year-olds to make sure that they still feel alive.
To respect them.
Now you're putting 73-year-olds in diapers. 73 is the new 63.
He's an old 73.
Have you seen the video of him quarterbacking still?
Yeah, he hasn't aged. He's actually super young.
He looks better than I do, and I'm 35.
Is this a good hire by the Raiders?
It's better than what they could have done elsewhere. Name me the better option.
The better option...
Mike McCarthy, maybe?
The better option is you stop trying to win the press conference, and you find a candidate that you really like, no matter how people are going to react to it. Hire a GM to go with him. David Shaw would have been a better hire.
This is easy. You got to follow the Tom Brady, follow the spy tech, follow all that, right? What did they do in Tampa Bay? They went and got 65-year-old Bruce Arians. Like, they clearly don't think that age is going to hold you back.
So Brady's got an age fetish?
I think he just looked at it like Bruce Arians was mid-60s, and he connected with the players. He was that type of guy. What does Pete Carroll do best? He connects with players. I think he just looks at it like, yeah, when you really unpack it, it makes a lot of sense as to why Tom Brady would be infatuated with this.
You know,
Pete Carroll's his Bruce Arians.
You know,
also Pete Carroll was like 75 years old himself when he won a title in Tampa Bay.
You know, Mike, I'm looking at your resume here. We love it. Everything checks out, but you're only 68 years old. I just think you're too young for the job. You know, call us in 5 years and we'll talk if you're still alive. Call us in 5 years. Omaha!
if you're still alive. Jeez. That's just brutal, man. All right, audio clip released by the DOJ reveals, I always get his name wrong. I do it right in my head, but I never get it right. Ipe Mizuhara.
Remember
the guy that impersonated Shohei Ohtani?
Yeah.
So we have audio of this. We spent so much time talking about him because he stole millions from Shohei Ohtani. And it's like, well, all right, he must have been great at this. This is the audio. Here we go.
Who am I speaking with?
Shohei Ohtani.
Thank you. How may I help you?
So I tried to log into online banking, and it told me that it's not available to me at this time. I need a call.
That sounds just like anything we've heard from him and not anything like Shohei. But the other part of this, they asked for like two-factor authentication. And so they sent a text message to the linked number on the account, which is, of course,
Ipe's
number to be able to confirm it. And that's all it took to wire thousands and then into millions of dollars of transactions.
But if you're that call center representative, you can't say you don't sound like Shohei. That is a can of worms.
I'm going to make you tell me I don't sound like Shohei.
Yeah. You know what? He might be a dummy, but that was a pretty smart play there. Yeah. I worked in call centers for a minute. I ain't calling that one out. I'm not getting audited on that one. That one's not going on my QC scorecard. Yep, Shohei, what do you like? How much can I give you? That's how that one goes.
Omaha!
Ichiro is heading to the Hall of Fame, and we have audio of the guy impersonating him.
He's going to do a speech, actually.
But Ichiro going to the Hall of Fame after getting all but one vote for his first time on the ballot. Ichiro himself. Do not play the other clip. Mac, I swear to you, do not play the other clip. We don't need that kind of smoke on a Friday. Ichiro himself would like to know more about that one voter.
I was able to receive many votes from the writers and grateful for them. But there was one writer that I wasn't able to get a vote from. I would like to invite him over to my house. We'll have a drink together and we'll have a good chat.
This is a good little bit by Ichiro. That's the way you handle being completely snobbed by one clown. I want to find that idiot. I do. Whoever didn't vote, and the second I tweeted that out, there was some listener that was like, well, you know, he's got the same WRC+. And if I could have punched Twitter, I would have.
Yeah, so Mariano's the only one with 100%, right?
Yeah, and things are not looking good for him now.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Man, I want to go back and get all the character witnesses that were like, well, he got 100% because he's a good man. Oh, boy. Yeah, maybe we should kick Mariano out now, huh? Anybody? Anybody?
Omaha!
Two iconic brands, one awesome ice cream is the title here. So
I saw that video.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of it. So it's Skyline Chili and it's Graters in an ice cream combo. And who's asking for this? I love Graters, by the way. I will do a full unpaid advertisement for them right now. They've been doing ice cream for 150 years. They got it down. They're very good. I like them.
JP likes it raw.
I do. Skyline Chili, give or take. But... well, who's asking for a Skyline Chili ice cream? Would you eat this?
This is just the oldest publicity trick in the book. This is, we're going to go ahead and do something that nobody asked for that is ridiculous. We're going to get a lot of publicity for Skyline Chili, a lot of publicity for Graters, and it'll taste like poop, and then you just move on. Right?
No, I'm sure you're right, but there are going to be people that go to greater stores being like, can I get the Skyline Chili ice cream?
Yeah, and they're
I
morons.
Need to try this.
And that's the other thing. They're like, morons. Well, okay, they're one of two people. Morons, or people who just want to try it so they can be like, that's not how it tastes! Like, there's nobody actually that's like, this is it. I've been waiting for this for years. Finally, Graters has done it. Nobody, there's nobody doing that.
Would you try it? Only ice cream at the party. Only ice cream at the party. You're sitting there, you'd give it a go?
Look at me. Of course I would. My favorite part is not just that it tastes like the Skyline Signature Spice Mix. It's the crunchy oyster crackers. You want to talk about if aliens are watching this right now, they're like, just blow the thing up. This is just,
we had interest, now we don't.
Like these people, what are we, humanity, what are we doing? Just like Atlantis of old, just nuke these suckers and let's go back to the Stone Age.
When aliens land, this is what we should present them, if I'm being honest. This is it. This is the best we can do.
Yeah, the problem is, if they like it, that's all you're going to have. Every time they come back, you're going to have this crap made, right?
Did this happen with a family member? You made like one dish, and you don't really like the dish, but they think this dish is great. And every time they come over, we're going to have that dish.
They're like, listen, steak, ugh. Right? Oh,
give me
the finest
that meatloaf.
Seafood. We don't eat animals. What kind of barbarians are you? Where's the Skyline chili? Beep bop. Hey, where's the Skyline chili ice cream? You don't make it?
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Nuke them. That's how that goes.
Nuke them? That's such a 0 to 100 reaction.
Aliens don't mess around, dude.
Yeah, clearly.
Dan Devine chose Darius over Donovan. We'll ask him why next at 3:43 on 92.3 The Fan. Cavs, the all-star nonsense is out. And I call it nonsense because it's an all-star game and we really care. And Darius Garland, not a starter. Donovan Mitchell is. Kenny Atkinson going to be represented in the game as well to talk about why he chose for his own voting side of things Darius over Donovan as a starter. We head out to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline and welcome on Yahoo Sports senior NBA writer Dan Devine. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm stoked that we're getting into it by starting with the All-Star game doesn't matter and we don't really care about it. Let's do a segment, man. Let's get going.
You see exactly how we do things on this show. Your voting was really interesting because you're really the only person we saw having Darius over Donovan. So why did that make sense to you?
A couple things. One is I kind of feel like, there are advanced statistical versions of this, right? I don't want to get too into the mumbo-jumbo on it, but if you look at a lot of the sort of all-in-one impact metrics, guys who are elevating their team's play on both ends of the floor when they're on the floor, and a number of the ones that are kind of all-in-one that I consider to be the best ones, Darius was a little bit ahead of Donovan in a bunch of those. And actually, by a bunch of them, Darius has been a top 10 to 15 value player in the league full stop thus far this season. And I think a lot of people maybe don't pay as much attention to that because obviously he's standing next to a guy who has been an All-NBA player, right? A guy who has been, a handful of times an All-Star, MVP conversation, has a much bigger national profile. But per minute, per possession, in terms of the way he's shooting, the efficiency that he's been shooting it with, of course, before he misses a handful of shots at the line the other night, but before that, and the playmaking, the turnover avoidance, the way that he elevates that offense into, and that's what really has made the Cavs so special this season, the offense reaching historic levels. Garland, that to me, has been a bigger driver of that. Now, Donovan Mitchell deserves a ton of credit for being willing to take a step back, right? Like, his statistical argument might look better if he was taking as many shots as he usually does, using as many possessions as he usually does, if he was sort of more primary on the ball. His willingness to take a step back, though, has opened the door for Garland to take a step forward and Evan Mobley as well to take a step forward, and I think that's really been driving the team's success. So that's one version of it. The other version is I'm pretty sure when I'm making that case that no matter which way I vote, Donovan Mitchell is going to get the vote. I'm going by based on what I'm seeing from other colleagues and saying I'm pretty sure he's going to wind up getting this guard spot. And I don't know if anybody out there is going to be making the case for how good Darius Garland has been. And if you read my thing and you take one thing away from it, maybe it's that. Maybe it's that this guy deserves a hell of a lot more credit than he's been getting. And I think if it didn't result in a starting spot for him in the All-Star game, I'm hopeful it'll result in a reserve spot, though, because this Cavs team deserves a number of players, and Darius Garland's one of them.
Yeah, Dan, I mean, we definitely, you know, being in Cleveland, we like you championing for Darius, that's for sure. But I did wonder what the reaction was from the basketball world within this piece. Obviously, here we all found it to be great, but did you get blowback for maybe propping up Darius, or was it just kind of like, oh, okay, maybe we should have given Darius more credit?
Yeah, I mean, the responses that I got mostly were from Miami Heat fans who called me colorful words for not including Tyler Hero. That was most of the blowback I got, which it was nice to learn some new words. That's great. I did not get a ton of pushback. I think most people really sort of appreciated the thought exercise, appreciated the argument. And I mean, I think also with the understanding that there was an awful lot of support out there for Donovan Mitchell. I think the widespread belief was it's going to be Donovan and Jalen Brunson, probably 1-2 in some capacities there. My colleague Tom Haberstroh, we do a show together called The Big Number, a podcast at Yahoo Sports. He was going to have both of the starters, the Cavs guards, in the starting lineup for him had he had a real ballot. So I think there's a lot of people that sort of expected that Mitchell was going to get that nod no matter what. But when you sort of lay out just how good Darius has been, you know, it wasn't exactly like you could say that my argument was unfounded or shaky too much. So I think that was something that, you know, if there was a whole lot of people cursing me behind my back outside of those Miami fans, I haven't heard it. Maybe they've been doing it in their DMs, but not in mine.
Dan Devine, senior NBA writer for Yahoo Sports on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We've talked a lot about Darius, and you know, Donovan's obviously the star on the team, has been for a while. Evan Mobley has been a favorite of a lot of NBA media members, and so he gets a lot of attention. It does feel like Darius isn't quite getting the credit he's due for the Cavs' ridiculous start to the season. Is there something, like, is there a way a guy like Darius, who's playing the way he is, that something he can do in Cleveland to get more credit during this run?
It's a really interesting question, and I wrote a large story. I wrote at the beginning of last season where that with a sort of general idea was, is Darius Garland the most underrated star in the NBA? And I talked to Darius for a little bit. I talked to some of his teammates, JB Bickerstaff, early in last season, and the general understanding was that because his game is so it's so smooth and it's almost so subtle. Some parts of it, like, you don't necessarily, there's not a whole lot of big tomahawk dunks, right? There's not a whole lot of explosive plays. It's a below the rim kind of athleticism that calls to mind more like Steve Nash. And if you are not, you know, getting 14, 15 assists per game and revolutionizing NBA offense with the way, the speed of your team, that is a little bit harder to sort of generate the interest in or get the eyeballs on it. Especially, again, I think you're standing next to Donovan Mitchell and people can just go, yeah, well, that guy's the superstar. And totally understandably so, right? So all that to say, the best way for Darius Garland to have sort of breakthrough in national consciousness, I think, is it's the way that almost every other star has had to do it. Grab some eyeballs in springtime. You know, if you go and you make not just sort of skinny your teeth, get past the first round, and then bow out in round two, if you make a deep run and you look pretty good doing it, I think that gets a lot of attention. That's what gets people to sort of remember your name a little bit more this time of year. But to this point in the season, all Darius Garland has done is score and play make more efficiently than he ever has in his life, be close to, I think, within like a handful of makes of being 50-40-90, the only guy in the league to be within hailing distance of 50-40-90 this season, on one of the best offenses we've ever seen and a team that's on pace for like 69 wins. So he's doing his job. It's just going to come down to whether that can happen in April, May, and June.
Donovan's in. We'd have to believe Mobley will be in. You made the case for Garland. I think you're right there, by the way. Does Jared Allen make it into the All-Star game?
I would love to see it. I think there's an argument that because East is so much deeper in the guard spots, that there's one way to look at it that is that's helpful, because maybe that means there's not going to be quite as much competition for a front court spot. The glass half empty look is because there are so many guards on the eastern side of things, the wild card spots, those last two sort of can be of any position, are probably going to go to guards. So it might mean there's not quite as much space for Allen. He winds up being on the outside of things. Because if you're a voter and you're, or if you're a coach, because the coaches are the ones who decide on the reserve corps, and they're like, well, we already got three Cavs in. Like, do we necessarily need to have four? I think sometimes though, that horse trading can happen, right? Like, you know, if the Pacers don't have anybody, but they're in the fourth spot, like, do we need to acknowledge them? Whatever, that kind of situation. So that can happen. In my, you know, again, my back of the envelope math doesn't really matter. In the reserve corps, I had Allen on the outside looking in. I had Mobley and Pascal Siakam. And honestly, off the top of my head, I am forgetting who the third big that I had was. I don't have it in front of me right now, but I know that Jared Allen was one of the honorable mentions. I think he's going to be in that kind of company for most people that are making those sorts of decisions. But that said, I mean, coaches understandably love Jared Allen, like a guy who would just – he is about the right things. He's going to protect the rim, and he's not going to worry about getting dunked on in the process because he believes he's going to block more than he gets punched on. And he's going to shoot 70%. He's going to make everything around the basket. He's going to hammer the offensive glass. He's going to get your guards open. And he's just going to be a good vibes guy along the way. I think coaches have an awful lot of respect for the player he's turned into and the impact that he has for that team. So that very well could wind up being reflected in the coaching ballots for the reserve corps.
Dan, this is purely an academic exercise. I do not want to trade Darius Garland, but a narrative that was really, really out there and really widely accepted was Darius Garland did not have significant trade value, maybe year over year from where he had the previous year because of how last year went this last summer. So in terms of what he's done for his value around the NBA, do you think it's back to where it was 2 years ago?
I would have to think so. I mean, there's two ways to look at it, right? He was coming off a significantly down season last year. We can now apply the context to that, right, and say, dude got his face broken in the middle of the season, had his jaw wired shut for a month and a half, couldn't eat food, and, lost weight, lost strength, lost rhythm, never really got on track last season. The version of Garland that we're seeing this year is much more, I think, it's the version we saw before Donovan Mitchell got there, it's the version that we saw in their first season together, and even a better version of that. So I think last year is the outlier, and if I'm just sort of looking at this from a how do you value this player position, he's on a post-rookie scale max contract, so 25% of the salary cap, a salary cap that continues to go up. So his contract will be taking up a lesser percentage of the cap. He's just about to turn 25 years old, so you're getting, like, I believe the next three seasons, the next four seasons of that, you're getting him through prime years if you make that deal. So it is a percentage of the cap that's going to decline for a player who is performing at an all-star level and you're getting his prime years. And it's not like he's necessarily injury-prone. He got his face broken. So I look at that and I say, I would be willing to bet on that guy, but, you're also talking to the guy who voted him in as an all-star starter. So maybe I'm a little bit too much in the tank for it, but I would have to imagine that around the league, if you are, if you were a team that's saying we need to take a swing at a franchise point guard and you're trying to figure out who makes the most sense budget-wise and who might be a good person to bet on as a building block moving forward, I would certainly want to talk to Kobe Altman about Darius Garland. But I'm guessing that at this point, if Kobe wasn't willing to go off of Darius Garland last summer, I have to imagine it would take an awful lot to get him off of Darius Garland this summer.
Dan, great stuff, both on your piece and with joining us. We really appreciate your time. Have a great weekend, bud.
Thanks so much, guys. Take care.
Dan Devine there, the senior NBA writer for Yahoo Sports on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We'll react to what Dan had to say, and we might have proof that there isn't enough love to go around for the Cavs at 4:03 right here on 92.3 The Fan.